That's good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the one thing. The one thing. Everyone say the one thing. The one thing. I'm a very simple man. Today is the last sermon for our 12 or 13 weeks of, as we dwell in the Gospel of Mark. Today is our last sermon, and I attempt to summarize or bring to a conclusion. You see, I'm a very simple man. When I drive, I can't multitask. I can only do one thing at a time. How many of you are like me? I'm the only one. I'm in trouble, Louis. So as we look through the Gospel of Mark, we ask this question. So what is the one thing? What is the one thing that God is speaking through the Gospel of Mark to click in this season? What is the one thing? Very often, after a holiday, I'll ask my children, so what is the one thing they enjoy most about this holiday? I'm not sure whether you have ever encountered a question like this. Perhaps in your classroom, your teacher will ask you, so what is the one takeaway today, class? All the students will be fast asleep. They won't. At least not in Jackie's class. Perhaps a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you may ask, what is one thing that you love about me? Wow, that's a very dangerous question, Joe. You see, for guy, you will always get the question wrong, all right? If you say, it's your inner beauty, my dear, you mean you don't like my outer beauty? It is your outer beauty, my dear. Why are you so shallow? What is the one thing? So we talk about the gospel. What is that one thing that I believe that God is speaking to click in this season? Now, surely, as we read in the Gospel of Mark, the author attempts to ask and answer this question, that is, who is Jesus? We can learn that in Mark chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Straight off the bat, first verse, he says that I'm here to talk about the Son of God. And I'm here to declare the good news of Jesus Christ to you. We learn first thing first that Mark is about telling the people who is Jesus. We learn that Jesus is the Son of God. We learn through the Gospel of Mark, the moment Jesus enters into the scene in the Gospel of Mark, we see the baptism of Christ. We see that Christ is being baptized and the heaven opens, the dove comes down, and the Father says, you are my Son, who I am well pleased. Straight after that, as you know, the Gospel of Mark is a gospel of action. What is Mark's favorite word? By now you should know. His favorite word is, start with M, I. Immediately. Well done, Faith. You're going to do well in VC, I tell you. By the way, we are praying for all the VC students. We are praying for all the VC students. Immediately, it's a gospel of action. Immediately, Jesus enters the scene, and you can see Jesus starts healing people. He's demonstrating he is the Son of God. By how? Authority over sickness. Authority over demons. In fact, in Mark chapter 2, there's this situation whereby there's a paralytic man. And then Jesus, when he sees that man, he says that your sins are forgiven. People start taking offense. Like, who is this man that can forgive sin? The reason why Jesus says your sins are forgiven, he's demonstrating that he's not just an ordinary human being like you and me, but he has the power to forgive sin. Who has the power to forgive sin? Only God has the power to forgive sin. We learn that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not only he has the power to cast out demons, not only he has the power to heal the sick, but he also has the power to forgive sins. People started to take offense. They say, who is this man? Who is this man that can forgive sin? Then Jesus says, I love it. Jesus is such a cool dude. You know what he says? Is it easier for me to say that your sins are forgiven or to ask this man to stand up and walk? Stand up and walk. The man was healed instantly. We see that Jesus is the Son of God. But through the gospel, not only we see that Jesus is the Son of God, but He is also the suffering servant. Everyone say the suffering servant. He's also the suffering servant. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." In the gospel of Mark, when we see Jesus suffered and died, we see that He's not just a glorious King, but He's also one that took on the sins of the world. I want to thank you so much for the worship team today. Led us to a beautiful time of focusing on Jesus, focusing on the cross. And today we'll talk much about it. They have no idea what I'm going to preach about today. That's what we love about the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God moves, everything just works so easily. Less planning, more praying. Oh, that's good. I should say that more. Less planning and more praying. Come to our Friday night corporate meeting once a month. We're going to pray together. Pray like never before. Less planning and more praying. We see that Christ, the suffering servant, the Lamb who takes away the sin of this world. And we see the Gospel of Mark also portray that Jesus Christ as the resurrected Lord. The resurrected Lord. We learn in Mark 16, verse 6, and He said to them, the young man said to Mary, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen." Everyone say, "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him." Christ is also the risen Lord. And all these things point to this one fact, that Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the Savior. That Christ is the Anointed One. Now that we know who Jesus is, it beckons this question. It beckons this question. What are you going to do about it? If Jesus is who He claimed to be, what are you going to do about it? If there is one thing God is saying to our church in this season through the Gospel of Mark, now that we know who Jesus is, and that if Jesus is claimed to be the one, the claim of Jesus is no ordinary man can claim. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus says, "I am who I am." Jesus says, "I can forgive sin." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If this is true, the question then for you and me today is, what are we going to do about it? What is this one thing that God is saying to us? May I suggest to you and may I submit to you the one thing I believe all my heart in this season the Lord is asking our church, asking you and me to do is this. A bit of suspense is good. It's to follow Jesus as a true disciple. Let's say it together. It's to follow Jesus as a true disciple. The Gospel of Mark, all the way, describing the deeds of Jesus, describing the works of Jesus, is to point out to us, now that you know who Jesus is, who this man claimed, what are we going to do about it? And I know one thing for sure, what we can't do about it is that we can't just sit around. We can't remain undecided. Now, when we talk about following Jesus as the true disciple, there's this question that we also have to ask ourselves. Who am I following? Who am I following? Now, in Mark chapter 2, verse 14, As Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. Everyone say, follow me. Follow me. And he rose and followed him. Again, we see in Mark 1:17, Jesus said to them, follow me. Everyone say, follow me. And I will make you become fishers of men. The call of God in this season, the mandate of God in this season, the purpose of God for us in this season is for us to be follower of Jesus Christ, to be a true disciple of Jesus. And today we're going to talk much about it. But first thing first, I'm going to talk about what is not a true disciple of Jesus. What is not a true follower of Jesus? It is not an Instagram-like follower. And nowadays, when you use the word follow, it has a lot of meaning. Yeah. How many of you have Instagram accounts? Don't have to put up your hands. Normally, it works something like this. If I follow you, you follow me, okay? So it's very transactional. Now, whenever we talk about the word follow, it is a very different understanding what we understand today and what Jesus meant. Yes? What is not is that we learn in Mark chapter 3. It says Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea and a great crowd. Everyone say a great crowd. A great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea. Everyone wants to see what Jesus is doing. And when we get really popular in social media, everybody wants to follow you and see what's the latest. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus have a social media account, say Instagram, TikTok. They say Facebook is really old-fashioned. If you use Facebook, they say you're 40 and over. Yeah. It means you're 40 and over. I wonder if Jesus have a social media account, whether he'll be really popular. You know? I know. I'm just wondering. So this great crowd, what we learn about this great crowd is that they are fickle, easily swayed. The same crowd that gathered to see Jesus. When Jesus fed the 5,000, great crowd. When Jesus was performing healing, a great crowd. The same crowd, they gather around Jesus. The same crowd, they say, Hosanna, Hosanna, is the very same crowd that say, crucify him. It's the same crowd, they say, release Barnabas. But not Jesus. Crowds are fickle. That is not the kind of follower Jesus Christ is asking. In Mark 15:11, we learn that the chief priest stirred up the crowd. The crowd can be stirred up. And have him release for them Barnabas instead. When we follow Jesus, it's very important that we don't follow because of emotion. It is true. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That involves emotion. But it didn't end there, didn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all your entire being. You know you can love God intellectually as well? Amen? Can I get an amen for that? You can love your God with your heart. Absolutely. With everything that you are. What is not is a choosy Christian. Not sure whether you heard of this term before. I don't think so. By the way, is that the like button for Instagram? Yes, I think so too. The reason why I ask is I'm not an Instagram user. But I was trying to connect with the younger crowd. I'm a Facebook user. Even that, I don't use that much. I think I just betrayed my age. You know what I mean by choosy Christian? Have you heard of people that are very choosy with their food? They only eat certain kind of food, you know? Very snobbish. You know? Only certain kind of food, you know? Only certain restaurant. No parents like choosy food either at home, yeah? You know what's a choosy Christian? We pick and choose which Bible verse we like. Amen, yeah? Yeah. The Bible verse, they say, God has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, oh, and not to harm you. Come on, bring it, Pastor Kenny. You know, the Bible verse that says, you know, I'm with you always, forever. Yes, amen. And those are true, all right? I'm not saying that those are not true. But the moment the Bible verse that talk about deny yourself, what? Take up the cross, no! Give to the poor, no! What give? Not give, but receive. Give me, God. A juicy Christians, is that a true follower? No. How about non-committal? The Bible talks a lot about things like that. Now, the truth is this, you know, I've got to confess too. All of us in our journey of faith, we have been through this before. Sometimes I also struggle. Sometimes I read certain Bible verses, I'm like, God, this can't be true. Is it that difficult? Is it that high calling? In our walk of faith, it is okay for us to be authentic and to struggle. It is okay for us to wrestle with God in the areas that we do not understand. But it's within that context of struggling and wrestling with God, we follow Jesus. This is not to say that when you follow Jesus, everything will be a bed of roses. Sometimes God will ask us to do very difficult things. Sometimes God will ask us to forgive. You mean I have to forgive that person that hurt me so badly? You mean I have to forgive this person that just betrayed me? Forgive. So what is a true disciple of Jesus? What is a true disciple of Jesus? A true disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus to the cross. Everyone say, follow Jesus to the cross. It's someone who followed Jesus to the cross. What do I mean by follow Jesus to the cross? I want you to imagine that you are one of the disciples of Christ. Peter, James, John, or Peter. Do not imagine yourself as Judas Iscariot. Anyone but Judas Iscariot. Imagine you're one of the 11 disciples. You follow Jesus. You're seeing him performing miracles. You see him entering to Jerusalem and you see him beaten, suffered, shamed, mocked, insulted, now crucified on the cross. The first invitation of Christ to his disciple is to come to the cross. Because this is the truth. Your new life only begins when your old life is gone. Christianity is not a religion. A religion will tell you what is right or wrong. Yes, truly, the Bible will tell us what is right or wrong. But the problem that Jesus has come to solve in this world is not about right or wrong. It is a relational issue. It is a problem of life and death. It is the issue whereby we as human beings, because of our sin, are eternally separated from God. No matter how much good you do, no matter how much kind deeds you perform, we can never earn our salvation. There is absolutely no way we can earn our salvation. That's why when Christ died on the cross, when he says it is finished, when he yelled, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? On that point, the curtain on the temple is torn into half. Why? It signifies that now is the time. First time in history, a mere human being can enter into the presence of God, blameless and holy because of what Christ has done on the cross. Can I get an amen for that? It is on the cross. It is on the cross your sins are forgiven. It is on the cross you are declared righteous. It is on the cross that you know that you are a beloved child of God. I thought about these old hymns. On the old rugged cross, it is on that old rugged cross the symbol of shame and sin and death. You know, today, in our modern world, many people do not understand the meaning of the cross. For a lot of people, it's a fashion statement. They go way around your neck. Some people tattoo on the arm. Some has become a symbol, a fashion statement. But the cross in the first century for the Romans, it is reserved for a criminal who has committed the most heinous crime. Cross is a punishment tool invented by human being that can incur the most suffering to an individual. And it's on that cross your sins are fully paid for. So when we say we follow Jesus to the cross, we are saying, Lord Jesus, I die to myself just as you died for me on the cross. We read in Mark 8:34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I today. If any one of us today wants to follow Jesus, this is what he says. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to deny yourself and to take up the cross? There are a couple of questions. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing some of your closest friends? Some of you here, following Jesus means you have to say no to your closest friends who are very bad influence in your life. Gambling friends, clubbing friends, friends that you know that is not helping you to grow in the Lord. Now, some of you may be asking me, Pastor Kenny, but if I withdraw from that friend group, how am I going to reach out to them? That's a very good question. A very good question. The answer is this. When you become the influencer in the group, rather than the influenced, that is when you can go back. Because you know that the environment is not helping you to grow in the Lord. If anything, it's actually pulling you down. That's why the Bible talks a lot about unequally yoked in relationship. When you're in a relationship that keeps pulling you down in your walk with the Lord, you really have to evaluate that relationship. It is difficult to follow Jesus, isn't it? But this is the beautiful thing. God says that if you follow me, I will make you become fishes of men. That if you follow me, you will find life. That if you follow me, great is your reward in heaven. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means the loss of your reputation? Today we live in a cancel culture. Very easily cancel out. Now, we've seen it, and I think I preached about it around 3 weeks ago about the Essendon CEO case, a product of cancel culture. He lost his job because of that. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? Those are hard questions. But I believe, you know, church, this is what I truly believe. If we are serious about our walk with God, if we are serious about following Jesus, you will truly see a transformational change in your life. You will truly see that your family will change, your life will change, the church will change. The heart of God is for us to become more and more like Jesus. It is in this context, as we follow Christ, we become more like Christ. It's when we follow Christ, we become more like Christ. And secondly, what it means to follow Jesus, it means to follow Jesus to the resurrection. And this is the good news here. Many times we just stop at the cross. But 3 days later, God has risen. Jesus is risen. We read in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When the old life is gone, the new has come, and this new life that you have, you live in Christ. The challenge for a lot of Christians is that now that we have new life, we go back to our old life immediately. And that's worse. That's worse. You'll be tormented. You're thinking, should I live my old life or new life? Undecided. We want to follow Jesus, go all the way. Amen. Go all the way. Let us not be a lukewarm Christian. If you are serious about reaching the city of Casey, if you are serious about reaching the world, you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, on fire for Him, willing to walk the path of faith that Christ has destined for you and me. Now, many of us, when we talk about being a follower of Christ or disciple of Christ, we get easily discouraged. Because sometimes we think in terms of black or white. It's like we are either super holy or we are walking in darkness. But the truth of the matter is this, we are all on a journey. We are all growing. It's called a process of sanctification. Like a plant, it starts with a seed. And that seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you first receive the seed, when you first receive salvation, so that is a seed planted in your heart. It needs watering. It needs tender loving care. And it's how you grow and grow. You see, discipleship is a journey of faith. And I'm still growing. And I believe you are still growing too. And the thing about growing in the Lord is that you and I, we can't do it on our own. No Christian is an island. And it's a daily process. We need people around us to help us to grow in the Lord. That's why as a church, we believe so much in discipleship. That's why we spend time together reading the Word of God, discussing the Word of God, challenging one another. And that is how we grow in the Lord. Amen. And that is how we grow in the Lord. Living a new and resurrected life through God's Spirit. As we follow Christ to the cross, we are saying no to ourselves and yes to Jesus. And we follow Christ to the resurrection, living this new life. And how do we live this new life? By the Spirit of the living God. So as a church, we often say that we are a God-loving, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, Word-grounded, disciple-making church. The question then for you and I is this, if I can get the worship team up. Is that who are you following today? If I can get you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Now that you know that Christ is the Savior of the world, and that He will take your sin and take it to the cross. Now, while He was on the cross, His mind is on you. It is on the cross justice meets grace. Judgment meets mercy. The holiness of God meets the love of God. He's on the cross. Cast your mind to Calvary. Today, the question that God is asking you today is, are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to follow Jesus? No matter what it takes, are you willing to follow Jesus? If you are willing, the promise of God is that He will supply everything that you need. Every resource in heaven is made available to you to walk this journey. Yes, it may be difficult, but you have the backings of the angelic host, guaranteed, sealed by the precious blood of Christ. Are you willing to follow Jesus? While all heads are still bowed, all eyes still closed, if you are willing to follow Jesus today, can you please lift up your hands? No one is looking around. Amen, 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 amen. Are you willing to follow Jesus? The precious Lord that is calling you. Now is the time. You can open up your eyes now. I've got this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer to follow Jesus. I really want for you. Sometimes we'll call it the sinner's prayer. I'll call it the prayer to follow Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, you can read this together with me. Yeah, come, let's read together. It goes something like this. Let's read from the heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior in your name. Amen. On this note, you know how the Gospel of Mark finishes? If you have a Bible, you can actually turn to Mark 16. The Gospel of Mark actually finished in a very interesting way. I'll read to you. Now, if you have your Bible, a lot of times, this is what your Bible would say. Starting from verse 8, and then below, there is this thing. It says, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include chapter 16, verse 9 to 20. Now let's assume, I mean, we can go to a lot of academic discussion whether 9 to 20 is included, but let's assume that we actually finish on verse 8. It is very interesting way that how Mark finished the story. You know how Mark finished the story? You have the resurrection, you have the empty tomb, and I read to you starting from verse 7. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Christ has risen. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. For the longest of time, people wonder, why would Mark end this way? Do you know why? The Gospel of Mark ended on a suspense. Christ is crucified. Christ is risen. What are you going to do about it? Come, let us all rise. We're going to sing this song. Let's just have a time to worship the Lord, yeah? Let's worship the Lord.